Greetings, this is Reverend Juliet Nightingale, and welcome to this transmission of Toward the Light, Leading Back to the Source. This is a program centered on near-death, out-of-body, and similar spiritually transformative experiences, including what people should know about the dying process, the many facets of after-death communications, living interdimensionally and being multi-sensory, intuition and telepathy, and more. We feature special guests who are both experiencers and researchers in the realm of NDEs. You're welcome to call in to ask questions or make comments during the show. Ring toll-free at 877-876-5227 in the U.S. or 888-810-8322 in Canada. Otherwise, you can ring direct at 530-876-5227. 3222. There are a number of services available through our organization Toward the Light, providing near-death studies and support, Reiki and remote healing, psychic, spiritual, grief and motivational counseling, NDE books, videos and DVDs, and other products for body, mind and spirit. I'd also like to encourage you to help support this program and BDS Radio by making a donation or sponsoring the show. For more information, please visit our website, towardthelight.org. This week, I'm very pleased to have a couple of special guests together, one of which is an NDE-er, and also someone who bears the stigmata of the wounds of Jesus Christ, Tiffany Snow, and her beloved husband, Father Billy Clark. Welcome to Toward the Light, both of you.
Thank you. We're happy to be here.
It's good to hear your voice. And what I would like to do, first of all, Tiffany, if you don't mind, is to tell us a little bit about your near-death experience and also how this led you. First of all, when did you have your near-death experience? And give us a few details about that. Then we can talk about the path that you have been on as a result of your near-death experience.
Certainly. It'll be 8 years this August 11th. I was at my horse ranch in Tennessee when I was struck by lightning. And that was an awakening for me, a jolt, I guess you could say, that I really needed. I consider my near-death experience an opportunity that the big guy used to help redirect me upon my life's journey. In fact, the story actually starts a little bit before then. I had actually almost died about 2 weeks beforehand. I think that was the first time that the big guy came calling. I came back from the Renaissance Fair with three big spider bites on me, and I wasn't aware that that's what they were. They were big bruises, and I went down to the emergency room to have them looked at because I noticed the fang marks in the middle. And while I was there, the venom from the poisonous spider started to affect my breathing and my heart. So they put me up on the table and pumped me full of drugs, and I didn't die. The big guy knows definitely how to get our attention. So a couple of weeks later, there was a storm coming up the valley, so I went to check on the horses. Now, divine intervention always comes at the right time for it. I had just remarried at that time, not my current husband, a man that we had been together for about a year and a half into the marriage when he told me about his mistress that he'd had for 17 years. And I was absolutely crushed. This had been my third marriage. And I felt that my life was going in a repetitive pattern where I was not going to have a loving relationship, where I had no purpose. And I really felt at that time that I would just be staying there in a loveless marriage and having no purpose in my life at all. I had children that were teenagers, and I thought, okay, I'll just stay here because of the horses and because of the pool and because of the different material things. But I didn't want to feel that hollowness inside. But I didn't know how to get myself out of this pattern of unhappiness. And I had come from a background of a very strict religious upbringing. So to me, God had always been in a box. In fact, I had never believed in near-death experiences before. I had been taught that they were just experiences from an oxygen-deprived brain, just hallucinations. And also that any kind of modern-day miracles or healing had died away in the first century with the apostles. So imagine my surprise when Father opened all this opportunity to me. I was going to check on one of my horses that had gotten stuck behind a chain link fence, a chain link that went around where the farm implements were. There was our farm truck there and plows and so forth, and the other horses had gone down to where the water was, and the lightning was flashing and it was raining hard, and this one horse called Stars, he was a leopard Appaloosa, and he was pacing back and forth, and I was afraid that he was going to get cut from these implements. He had gone underneath the chain link to evidently where the grass was greener. So I went up and I unhooked the chain link, and Stars went flying out, and I went to rehook it, and one hand was holding onto the pole of the barn and one onto the chain. And at that time, a very bright light happened, a flash of lightning. And every muscle in my body went into contortions. It was sort of like John Travolta on Saturday Night Fever. I had no control at all.
I never saw that.
It's a dance movement reminiscent of the 70s. And at that time, I felt an instant of piercing pain. And then everything went dark. Well, slightly before that, it's amazing that what goes through your mind when you're dying. And the thought went through my mind that I should push my heart up against the corner of the truck there. And then the next thing that I knew, I was going down into the mud, that I was fainting and I was blacking out. And that's where I left my body. And then the next thing I knew, I was floating up in space. And I was afraid. Hello?
Hello?
Yes. And on my right-hand side, there was a person who was who had a spirit body like mine. When I lifted my arm, I could see the planets and such through it. It looked like reflection on water. And he had no wings as well. And there was a person, a spirit body on my left-hand side, and he was more tall, sort of a chiseled chin. And they were right beside me. And the man on my right, he spoke to me in my mind. It was like a telepathy. And he said, "Don't be afraid." Now, meanwhile, we are going towards a very bright white light. And the closer we got to it, the more comfort I felt. And I wanted to join with this light. It was like metal to magnet, and I started feeling peace, and I started feeling love, and there was so much that I was seeing around me. If you look at any of the Hubble telescope photos, that's some of the things that I saw, just beautiful planets and brilliant things. It was like being in Aurora Borealis. And I started asking questions about what I was seeing. And I would have instant answers in my mind. It was like a whole library of information coming into my mind. And then even when I didn't have questions, the information just kept coming. It was like there was nothing unattainable, nothing that I wasn't connected to. And I wanted to blend with this bright light. But then we stopped. And in front of me, there was gold and white sparkles that came together in the form of a tall man, the head and the shoulders. And there was such a presence of peace, and the presence of Christ formed in front of me. And he said, "What have you learned?" And it wasn't accusing in any way, it was just a question. And then all of a sudden I had a life review. Now, remember at the time, I didn't know about any of this at all. And where I had shown unkindness to people, I felt how they felt. And then when they turned and they were unkind to somebody, I felt how that felt too. And all of that rippled back to me. And then when I had showed love to people, I felt how that felt and how much more it rippled, cause and effect, and I felt all that love back. And also, there was times that were presented where I had missed opportunities, where I hadn't interacted at all, and the things that were missed, the things that could have occurred. And right then and there, I knew I needed to make a better movie. Now, then I was told...
That's a beautiful analogy, though.
Pardon me?
I said, that is a beautiful analogy. It is so true that when we do have the life reviews, it really compels us to make a lot of changes and to indeed create a better movie, as it were. Go ahead.
And then the presence of Christ said, "The flesh is the test of the spirit. Love one another." And then I was told, "Welcome to the world of healers." And I had no idea what that was. Meanwhile, the sparkles of Christ went back into space again. And I was seeing different things. I saw a couple of children saying they couldn't wait to come back. Now, before this, I had never believed that we lived more than once. It takes empirical experience sometimes to understand these things. And also, I saw that there was different planets that we can go to. Some were physical. There was one that was just a gardening planet where you can go there in a physical body and just totally learn about gardening. And then I saw that there was also an emotion, like it was a green gaseous sphere, and you went there without a body and you were absorbed in this and you learned everything about this particular emotion. And that these are the things that were available to us after we polished enough facets of love here on the earth. Now, meanwhile, I still wanted to go to this great brightness. I felt that the essence of God was there in that brightness. It looked like an opposite egg. It was very bright white in the middle and sort of yellowish on the outside. But I could hear the singing of angelic voices, but I couldn't make out the words. I felt if only I stepped a few more steps forward that I could make it out. And I asked to go forward into this light, into the full presence of God. And I was told, I mean, it was like I was standing in front of a giant speaker system. It wasn't just something I heard in my head or through my, where my ears would be, but it was coursing all through my body. And the presence of God said, if you love me, you'll heal my children. You'll help them remember who they are. How can you say no to that? So I said,
Indeed.
I said, if you can use this broken lump of clay, because that's how I had felt with everything that happened in my life. My entire life had been a struggle. Everything from runaway and drugs and all different kinds of things growing up. And I told him, if you can use this broken lump of clay, here I am. And when I said that, when I made that free will participation, there was this warm glowing that started at the top of my head. It was like warm honey being poured on me, and it was tingling, going from my head down my forehead, over my shoulders, all the way down through my body. And now I understand now that that was an anointing of some sort that occurred for the healing miracles that we experience now. Because I feel that every time that I start a healing, I feel that same warm honey feeling come through. And so when I made that free will participation, that is what occurred. And the next thing that I knew, I was being shaken by my shoulders, and my body was actually in the front seat of the truck, not down in front of it in the mud where I had left it. I was back at the ranch in Tennessee, and I had been missing for 3 hours. And my husband was shaking me by the shoulders. And we went to the emergency room. And they monitored my heart. They said that that was fine. But meanwhile, I could barely see or barely hear, and my skin was so sensitive to the touch because of the lightning strike. And they wanted to give me drugs for the pain, and I said, no, I don't want to, because I was afraid that I would lose this memory. And I didn't tell anybody there at the hospital about it because, well, really, I didn't want them to put me in some kind of white jacket and take me down the hall to the asylum.
Yes, exactly. Was this at Vanderbilt? Were you taken to Vanderbilt in Nashville or somewhere else?
No, I was taken to a hospital there in Franklin. And in fact, I got my records, went ahead and got them a couple of years ago, and I thought it was funny that it was written on there after about lightning strike and such. I evidently still had my sense of humor because it said that they quoted me as saying that I wanted to go home and light light bulbs. Which is actually something that I can do with the fluorescent ones if I hold it one hand on one side and one on the other. They do. So at home,
wonderful.
Yeah, at home I was in bed recuperating. I wanted to paint the beautiful colors I had seen and the beautiful things, but there was no colors bright enough, nothing that could really, it was just like a shadow of what I had experienced there. But all this, I mean, as you can tell, I still get to the place where I stutter because it's still such a big experience for me, and I've told it hundreds of times over the years, and it still touches my heart so much. But I didn't understand, what does it mean, welcome to the world of healers? Because as I had said, I had no idea at all about any of that because I that was not part of what I had been taught or how I had been raised. So as I started going back to my chores again, this same horse, Stars, he was a beautiful horse, a white horse. He was called a Leopard Appaloosa, and he had little brown spots all over him. Well, we had been working on a problem with his belly. On the outside of his belly, it was just red bumps, and we had been putting a salve on him that we got from the vet, and it had been a couple of weeks or so. Now, during my recuperation time, this hadn't been done, so I went up there to start taking care of him, and we had run out of it, or it had dried up or something like that, but he was used to the attention. So I put my hands on his belly and just rubbed around the outside where there was still hair, and my hands got hot, and I thought, well, it's probably from whatever this bacteria is. So I'd go in and wash my hands. The next day I came out, and there was all the red blisters had now turned white, and I rubbed my hands around his belly again, and they got hot again, and I went in and washed. And the next day I came out, and all the blisters had fallen off, and there was new hair growing back. And I thought, well, good, that medicine's finally working. I wasn't putting two and two together. And then our cat needed to be fixed, so I took her in. And the first day she didn't want anything to do with me, but the second day she followed me from room to room and at every time possible wanted to be up in my lap. And my hands would get very hot. So on the third day I turned her over to look at her belly, and the wound had healed. So I went down and had the I took the stitches out because I was embarrassed to take her back to the vet. There wasn't even a surgical scar left from the operation. So then I thought, well, maybe this is what it means about being welcome to the world of healers. Maybe I'm supposed to be in the back of a vet's office healing animals. So then I thought, I wonder if this works on humans. So then I went into that place of connection of prayer, and that memory of how it felt to be up there in the presence of God. And then I put my hands on different places where I had problems. I had at the time a lump in my breast that they had wanted to do a biopsy on, but I had been putting off. I had a torn rotator cuff on my left shoulder. I'd been having to prop it up just right to sleep at night for like the last 6 months from a fall from that same horse. And also my eyes, I was on the verge of needing glasses. And also I'd had a ruptured disc in my neck, a souvenir from a previous marriage. So I put my hands on these places. Oh, and also I had been diagnosed with fibroid cysts, which they said I need to have surgery for. Well, I called and made the doctor appointments, and I got a mammogram, which showed that there was nothing there. And then I had a diagnostic ultrasound for the fibroid cysts, and that showed clear. And also, I had no pain in my shoulder, and also I could move my neck and head without my left arm going numb. And also I could see very clearly. And I thought, wow, this works on humans too. So then it brought up all kinds of questions for me. I thought, well, okay, I'll start working on friends. And I found that when I would work on my friends, if they had a headache, I would get a headache. If they felt sick, I would get sick. And I thought, well, what am I missing here? If God made me a healer, I won't last very long if I'm taking on the problems that these people have. So that made me ask further of what I needed to do. And you know how the big guy is with divine intervention. And he had a friend tell me about people down in the middle of Nashville that were doing what they called Reiki shares. It was
open. That's what I do. Oh,
okay. Yes, and it was open to
not
the public.
So,
as I was trying to figure this out, because I saw people healing on TV, and I thought, am I part of this now? You know, is there some way to contact them? And no, the answer is no, there isn't. So I went down to the middle of Nashville, and not all Reiki practitioners use prayer, but this group included prayer with their Reiki. And when I came in, there was also a picture of Jesus up on the wall, which made me feel comfortable because I didn't know what Reiki was. And as I was seeing what they were doing, and their hands were getting hot too, there was a book there on the table showing about the history of Reiki, and I was thumbing through it, and there was a picture there of Dr. Yusui, and I had met him. I went, oh my goodness, this is a little short man with squinty eyes on my right-hand side during my near-death experience.
Oh, wow. Wow. Interesting. Yes.
Then I knew that... Yes. So then I knew that that was a clue to that I needed to add this to what I was doing. Now, when I made that decision, then even before I took the classes, I received no more sickness from whenever I would lay my hands on people. So, and then I went ahead and became certified and became a master with the Reiki. And one of my questions that I asked Father was, you know, the big guy, was why was this added to the healing ministry that I'm doing? And he said it's because at that time, you couldn't go into the hospitals just doing healing prayer. There was research that had been done on this modality of healing that I could use it as a touchstone to go in and heal people. And that's what made it possible for me to touch many more people than I would have at the time. And God has always used healing of all kinds, all throughout time, in all cultures, in all parts of the world, and it goes by many different names. And I have found the difference is that when you go beyond your own energy, beyond your own compassion, but you are that participant, when you ask God to come into it, then you have energy that is limitless. That's where the miracles happen. That's where everything transforms. So whatever modality that you're using, use prayer with it, and it will make a world of difference. And so after these experiences, and people continued to be healed and have miraculous recoveries from things, then it broadened my analytical. That 10% of our analytical part of the brain seems to be a bridge or a barrier to healing. And as I would see the new x-rays and the new blood work and the new PET scans and CAT scans from these people who I had been able to touch, it helped me to understand that all things were possible with God. We are all sparks off of the divine flame. I had been way off track on my journey, and just because of that place of free will participation, of saying, yes, Father, here I am, then that led me to that place of divine intervention and divine guidance, and it has continued through the years, and since July of 2005, even with stigmata, which has been a big experience as well, is God is beyond religion. And one of the things that we've learned about with stigmata is that it will happen with people of all faiths all throughout the world because Christ is not limited to one religion. That place of balancing light and dark is that open door for all of us. Just like the fall of mankind was beyond redemption, beyond religion, so is the redemption of it beyond one particular religion. And we have seen spinal cords come back together and people be able to walk again. Cancers of all kinds dissolve and disappear and go away, and eyesight come back and people be able to hear again, and all different kinds of emotional things be healed, addictions of all kinds go away, even without any kind of side effects at all. I mean, I am thankful for my near-death experience because that was an opportunity that he gave me. I sort of had to be whacked upside the head to get it. And now my life is an adventure and a miracle every day, and I get to see the ripple effect of reaching out and showing the love. And it doesn't help just the people that are being healed, but also their friends and family who are encouraged by it and begin to ask the bigger questions for themselves, and also the ripple effect in the medical community too.
Well, that's also what I'm hoping for, because when I was in Nashville, I was doing the Reiki and always using prayer whilst I was doing the Reiki, because that to me is very, very important. And, you know, if you believe in the word of Jesus, greater works than this you can do, then indeed, why can't all of us do this healing work and make a tremendous difference for other people and for ourselves as well? So through the Reiki, I see us as actually being a conduit of that divine energy, that healing life force that goes through everything, and it's really, really wonderful. When did you actually leave Nashville, Tiffany?
I left Nashville probably about a year and a half after that. Shortly after the lightning strike, I went ahead and gave my husband his divorce, and he wanted to do a big legal thing about the ranch, and I found out that if I would go into a place of anger, then I couldn't do the healing. So I just left all of that behind and have been just so blessed with abundance and healing ever since then. And there are other gifts that Father gives us. I mean, not only are there gifts of healing, but he gave me a wide variety to see what touched my heart the most. I mean, I've helped on national missing person cases. I've helped on crime scene investigations. I've done all kinds of things. I have found that we all have the same purpose: to love God with our heart, mind, all of our energy, and our neighbor as ourself. And whatever gives us the most joy is that gift that we give to one another, is that place where we feel the most connected to the big guy. And we're not here just as puppets. We have choices about what we're the most compassionate about. And that's why, just like with the video, The Secret, they make good points about power of intention, but that is only buoyed along by your own strength. And that's why if you are very compassionate about something, you have a higher success of it coming to fruition. But if you go beyond that, beyond your own energy, and connect with God with it, and being specific in your prayers, that's where everything occurs, everything transforms. I think healing is like just one of the marketing tools that God uses to let us know that he exists. And I'm sure he knows it's difficult because he's invisible, you know. It's like the wind. You can't see the wind, but you can see the leaves move on the trees. And I think healing is like making the leaves move. It's an empirical experience that people have, that they know that because of the changes that occur, that the proof is in the pudding, that he not only exists and not only has the power to interact, but the desire as well. And then the changes are there. I mean, it's another sign and wonder, just like he's used through the thousands of years, whether it be stigmata or prophecy or whatever it may be. There's always been opportunity and touchstones in front of us to recognize that we are not alone.
Exactly. And as a result of having these near-death experiences, it's a wonderful reminder not only of the fact that we're not alone, but also that we too are divine. And that we are always connected with the right source, and that unconditional love is the only truth. And, you know, it's easy to talk about it, but then when you go into that experience and have that experience firsthand, it is very, very powerful, and it changes you forever as a result. Go ahead.
Yes, and that place of participation is not just about asking, well, whatever your will is for me. It's about that place of participation of what we are passionate about. And yes, that place of free will that we're given is like a shield around us. That's why we can do things that are even not good for us, whether it's smoking or an addiction of some kind, and the cigarettes don't go flying out of your hand. You know, it's that place of cause and effect of our own choices, et cetera, et cetera. So when we, by free will, then ask for the connection, for the interaction, ask for the guidance of the angels, et cetera, that's where everything occurs, and that's where we begin to live that life of being divinely guided. It's almost like one ear to the heavens and one ear to the earth. I guess the perfect balance might be seen of maybe visualizing your feet upon the earth, your head in the heavens or upon the spiritual things, and your arms outstretched to mankind, because it is that place of loving God and your neighbor as yourself, and realizing the gifts you have and the power you have in that connection with the big guy.
And so the big guy is how you refer to the light source, correct? That's God, in other words.
Yes.
Correct?
He knows his name. I mean, he isn't even a he. I mean, but he has that protective alpha thing going on, so that's like male dominant. But also he's very maternal and very nurturing, like a mother is. So he is not either male or female. So that's why, you know, I call him Father most tenderly most of the time. But also sometimes I'll call him the big guy or God. But again, he's the one who knows his name. There was something that I learned called angel speak. Well, I call it angel speak. But it's a perfect language that the angels and other spirit creatures use to connect with one another, and it's as they speak it, it perfectly gives what they're trying to communicate, and it's perfectly understood to the other person, to the other creature, and we're hardwired for that too, but we don't have use of it right now. But it's a combination of numbers, colors, musical sounds, shapes, and time dimensions. And so it's a perfect language that is created as it's used. Pretty interesting, huh?
But that whilst on the other side as well. That's very familiar, actually, what you're describing.
And when you look at things like companies or even football teams, and you see how we may not even recognize the things that we are hardwired for, but there you'll see the mascot and you'll see the team song and the team colors and these kind of things. That's because that gives us an indent to them. In fact, we are all connected to one another, as you know. It's like we live in the holographic mind of God. It's like we're a particle in a great cosmic soup. But in this place of being connected to everybody and everything, how do we make a difference? And one of the things that Father showed me is a lot of things about quantum mechanics. In fact, my last book, Forward from the Mind, connects with that and how distant healing works and prayer with quantum mechanics and such. But it shows that we need an indent. That's why if you're compassionate about something, whether you see it on TV or you read it in a newspaper or somebody tells you about it and your heart is moved, or you go, oh, that's not how it should be. That's that place that we have such power. That's that place, that spark that we are from Father. That when we recognize that, now to lift it up, to be that touchstone of free will, because remember the big guy can't go against free will of people. So we get to be that touchstone of asking for connection and prayer for the holy angels to be sent in to make a change, to make a difference in these different things. That is your indent of the things that you see. So if you are particularly moved by things in the environment, that is the thing that you're going to be the most passionate about, and that's going to be your prayer, that place of connection where things can occur. In fact, things that don't have free will on the other side, such as storms and such, when you make that desire for it to be changed, that's what occurs. Now, when you pray for a divine intervention and it has to do with somebody else's free will, it still can't go against their free will, but I was shown it works like this. It's sort of like God gives us all opportunities to recognize things. It's like a field, and he'll put a rose bush here, a rose bush there, a rose bush over there for us to recognize the rose bushes. When we step in and in prayer, it's like five more rose bushes. And somebody else steps in with prayer, that's five more rose bushes until what's placed in front of this person, whether it's a terrorist or whatever it may be, would be a whole field of rose bushes, a whole bunch of opportunities for him to recognize love and choose that instead. That's how important our connection is. And also because of needing that indent in this cosmic soup, that's why when I do the distant healings, I ask for a name or a photograph or the town where they're going to be at. The big guy knows where everybody is, but it's that place of me having the indent with them. I already have the compassion, and I already expect the miracles to be done. I've seen so much stuff that there isn't any hesitation there. So that's that place again of indent in that in quantum mechanics.
That's really very positive. I really appreciate what you're sharing there. Now, did you say that you wrote a book about this, Tiffany?
Yes, I have three books.
A book about this?
Yes, I have three books out.
Tell us about that.
You can find them on Amazon.com or 90% of the internet bookstores. Just look up my name, Tiffany Snow, and you'll find them. But this last one also has a research that we did about the difference between people who come in here and receive a healing and those who do it by long distance. And there's the same high percentage, 82 to 83%. It didn't matter if they were here or if they were somewhere else. The distant healing occurred. And that's that place, again, of quantum mechanics. I go much more into it because really all of this is beyond any religion of habit. It's past metaphysics and just into divine love. It's about learning to live our life the way it should be, living our true potential. The big guy wants all of us to be a mystic, and he wants us to live that life between candle and flame. It's called Forward from the Mind. There's another book called The Power of Divine, A Healer's Guide. and also Psychic Gifts in the Christian Life, which has a lot of scriptures in it. So those who come from a fundamental background will know that we are hardwired to have all of these wonderful opportunities and gifts. For example, it's very interesting doing this interview because just like when I'm in front of a large group of people, I'm given what the majority of the questions are that people are about to ask, and I'll be given that that's what I should answer next. So that's what I'm picking up right now. Okay, how to connect with the big eye. We are hardwired through our senses, our seeing, our hearing, our taste, et cetera, et cetera. That same place as women's intuition or gut feeling is one of those places. It's all about not giving our power away to others. I mean, there's all kinds of things that we hear, all different kinds of things in books, but how do you know if that's right for you? If you see God as being love, okay, you should be able to hold everything up to that and say, is this of love or is this of fear? Because it's not about, hate's not the opposite of love. Fear is. Fear stagnates and freezes us. Love moves us.
You are absolutely right about that. You are so right about that. And that's a very good reminder for our listeners to hear, is that indeed fear is the opposite of love, and fear is a conduit for hatred. Very, very good. Thank you for that. Go ahead.
And that's why we can also look at what our motivation has been for our last choices and see where are we frozen in our life. Where are we moving forward? If we're frozen or stagnated places, that means we need to make new choices there. So at the very basis, asking ourselves, am I making this choice out of fear? Am I taking this job because I'm afraid I'll lose the roof over my head? It's not a job I really want to do, but choosing it because of fear. If you choose the things out of love, the abundance and everything else will come. So that's at the very basics. But you can also ask God yes and no questions. Remember, he takes every opportunity to connect with us, whether it's healing, specific prayer. Well, this is another way. If you are wanting an answer for something, in other words, getting into that place of free will connection again, okay, making that free will intention, that place of prayer, that place of connecting outside of yourself, and asking God, if it is your will for me to do this, let's say this particular job, asking if yes, if you're a visual person, asking that you will see green for yes, red for no. And there would be a green mist, whether your eyes are open or closed, won't matter, if you're a visual person. Or asking to hear a tone in your right ear for yes, a tone in your left ear for no, or even the words yes or no if you're an audio person, or even the sense of smell, a sweet aroma for yes, a putrid one for no, sweet or sour for taste, or again that happy caffeinated feeling in your belly for yes, that queasy nauseated feeling for no. You can go direct and ask these yes and no questions. You can ask for a pulsing in your dominant hand for yes, in your other hand for no. And if you're not sure of what your physical things are, in fact, in that first book, Psychic Gifts in the Christian Life, chapters 4 and 5, there's a bunch of different games in there that you can do to see what kind of senses that you use, and often it's more than one. But if you're not sure what your body is giving you, what senses, you can also ask for a sign. But put it in a limited period of time. That way the analytical brain doesn't go, oh, well, that was, you know, just coincidence. In other words, if you're asking about taking a specific job and say, may I see a dove within 3 hours, you know, some kind of sign, but in some kind of period of time. And then look to see how that dove might be. It might be a live dove that flies over your car, you know, or comes to your kitchen window, but it may also be a Dove candy bar wrapper that blows in front of the sidewalk in front of you. And if you're still not sure, if you go, oh, well, you know, I don't know, then ask for another sign in a different period of time. These are all ways for you to build a relationship, not with other people about giving your power away to them, but you building that relationship with the big guy, the one who made you, that divine connection. As in any relationship, the more time you spend together, the more you get to trust one another. And pretty soon you're going to be a lot further than yes and no. You're going to be hearing in complete sentences. You're going to have complete visions. And you will be as easily moved by spirit as a feather on the wind.
That is so lovely. I really appreciate you sharing that. Now, I do have another question about, because you do deal with the Christian philosophy a lot. And, you know, I also used to live in Nashville for a number of years, and I'm also a musician and all of that good stuff. How would you address people who insist that all of this is of the devil? Now, of course, I don't even believe in the devil. How would you address that? How would you answer their concerns and their fears?
That's a very good question, because I come up to that all the time, especially with the stigmata. There are those who want to kiss my hands and feet and consider me a saint, and there are those who say I'm from the devil. The opportunity is there for them. We cannot make anybody else's minds for them. It's all free will. I am only here to give an opportunity. What they decide to do with that is up to them. And I feel very blessed to be a touchstone that can lead people to more confidence for themselves, in themselves, knowing that they're a child of God, helping them to remember who they are. And healing them is the proof in the pudding behind the words. So, again, it goes back to my original awakening with the first near-death experience. I'm saying first because every stigmata that occurs, all throughout it, I'm clicked out of my body again. And during that time, wonderful things occur, not just the Passion of the Christ, but beyond that, where there's a book that I read that it's in a different language, but as I read it, the words turn into gold and I speak it out loud, or I come back with the information. It depends if I'm fully out of my body or not. And then Father Billy writes it down for me. He takes all the notes. And we've compiled hundreds of pages of information this way. I don't know about you, but I mean, I've talked to a lot of near-death experiencers and have spoken at a lot of the conventions, and very few have full knowledge and memory of all the information we were given when we were on the other side. I mean, I certainly didn't come back with all of it, but through this time of connection, we've been able to bring in hundreds of pages, like what animals are and the shifting that's occurring right now on the earth and just beautiful things. And we were given...
Hello, we're just about to end this transmission of Toward the Light, leading back to the source. Tiffany, I want to thank you so much for being on our show this week. It has just been so lovely talking to you. And I do want to remind our listeners, it is only with the heart that one sees rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye. Please remember that only love prevails. We will speak to you next week. Blessings and light. Cheerio.